Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. We've got a special guest who's going to be with us. I'll be introducing in just a moment. But just a reminder to check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And of course, I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We certainly invite you to come out and visit us. And we'll have more information on that at the end of the program. And I'll save that for later to give our guests plenty of time here today. But just a reminder, if you go to our site, livewithpastoral.com, you can not only find a link to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church, but also you can listen to past programs there. You can look at some of the articles and things that I've written and a link to some other materials and such that we have all there at livewithpastoral.com. And let's see, it's a beautiful day out there. What a change from what we've been having, but I guess it's going to get cold again this weekend. But we are in winter time still, but seasons come and go. God's word still stands, and we're glad to have you with us here this afternoon. Well, as I said, we have a special guest with us on the program today, and I want to welcome Janet Folger Porter to the program today. And Janet, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Pastor. So glad to be with you.
Hey, I'm glad to have you here too, as well. And I've heard about you a number of times over the years. First time I think that we've actually talked or had you on the program. But we'll get you a chance to introduce yourself and give you some of the information about how people can follow what you're up to. But the thing that I've heard about most about you, I think, in the past has been with the pro-life issues. But I know you're involved in a lot more than just that. And you've also got some other things, sticks in the fire that we're going to talk about. But again, welcome to the program. Where can people go to find out more about you?
Sure. There's a couple of places. My ministry is called Faith to Action. The website is F2A.org, F2A.org, or Faith2Action.org. I guess you're the first radio program that your audience gets to hear the big news, and that is I'm running for Congress. And that website is JanetFolgerPorter.com. And so people could find out about that and see a video about why I'm running and what I stand for at JanetFolgerPorter.com.
And that is really kind of exciting when you think about it. And what district will that be?
It's the open seat that was vacated by Anthony Gonzalez. He's one of the 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Trump. And that was the moment where I said, man, I think we need to run there. And as you know, what we found, and one thing I've especially learned in the last decade, having introduced the pro-life heartbeat bill here in Ohio and helped to get him passed now in 14 states around the country, you know that bill very simply is if a heartbeat's detected, the baby's protected. And it's the bill I have the privilege of recruiting the sponsor in Texas, Senator Brian Hughes. And that bill in Texas is actually currently enforced. That bill is right now protecting 100 babies a day, 40,000 children a year. And here's the best news nobody seems to know, is that the Supreme Court does not have the votes to overturn it. They've had four opportunities to strike that law down, and they cannot do it. And that's phenomenal. That means that even if we don't see an official death certificate for Roe versus Wade, Roe is dead nonetheless, because we can protect 9 out of 10 babies. Every child whose heartbeat can be heard is being protected now in the state of Texas. As I mentioned, 40,000 babies a year. And we have that model. I just released it yesterday on the Faith to Action website and to our email members that now have the model that was upheld in Texas that you can pass wherever you live.
And of course, here in Ohio, as you said, you helped put together that bill, which was passed in Ohio, and then, of course, promptly challenged in the courts. And what's the status there?
Well, it is like 13 other states that have really been like an arrow. It's pulled back before it's released, and that's what's happened with our bill. It's been pulled back. It's been right now enjoined. We're not seeing it enforced, but it is traveling through the court system to deliver what I believe will be a fatal blow to the heart of Roe versus Wade. Because what we're doing is we're saying we're going to apply that same standard that we use in hospitals across America, that if there's a heartbeat detected, then there is a sign of life. If there's a heartbeat, there's life. You know, those heart monitors are there for decoration. We all know that. We find someone on the sidewalk, we don't just plan a funeral. We check for a pulse, you know, because the heartbeat is the universally recognized indicator of life. And so why should we ignore it when it comes to the very young members of the human family? And we're seeing that people all over America, in fact, 30 states have introduced heartbeat bills right now. I just heard from Connecticut that that'd be over 30 now that want to introduce a heartbeat bill to keep hearts beating where they live. It's a phenomenal thing. And it all began back when I was working to pass all those incremental bills, you know, the laws that are on the books right now, I worked to pass the parental consent law, the woman's right to know law, the 24-hour waiting period, the fetal homicide. Even I lobbied to pass the nation's first ban on partial birth abortion. But at the end of the day, it didn't protect enough. We still had a body count of over 1 million innocent lives. And that's where God gave me the idea for the heartbeat bill back in November of 2010, as you remember, we had to introduce this bill 5 times in the Ohio legislature. We had to overcome 2 vetoes. In fact, 1 veto, we only lost over the overriding that veto by 1 vote. I chased the swing vote in the House down through a blizzard to bring her back for the vote. But we had a turncoat named Bill Beagle in the Senate. And so we had introduced the bill a 5th time, but we got it through. And the good news is that people are now understanding we have a pathway to victory, something that the pro-life movement has really been missing for 49 years. So praise the Lord, we're seeing enormous progress on the life issue, and you know that the end of abortion has begun. And the reason that I want to run for Congress is because I see that right now it's our liberties that are most under fire. Mm-hmm. What I want to say is that I will fight for our liberty as hard as I fought for life, and that's saying something. Because right now we've got, you know, these forced vaccines. It's medical tyranny is what it is. And so I came up with an idea to realize that in Congress, and by the way, we introduced a federal heartbeat bill and ended up with 174 co-sponsors, more than any other pro-life bill. So I know a little bit about what it's like to meet with these members and to get their support on a bill. But what I also know is that it was blocked by the leadership, by the rhinos who wouldn't bring it to a vote. And I'm also running for Congress to fight the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, in Washington, as hard as I fought them in Ohio. Many may remember I ran many candidates against these senators who were obstructing our heartbeat bill. I actually ran against the Senate president. That was not a popular move, but they spent over $1 million slandering me. You may remember seeing some of the commercials or getting some of the mailings, calling me the liar, calling me the pro-abort. But we wore them down. It wasn't fun, but it was worth it because we're on our way to ending abortion on demand. But one of the things I want to do when I get in there and is fight for our liberties. I helped to draft the religious freedom bill that protects Ohio business owners here in Ohio. I was the one that stood and rallied the troops behind the military chaplain's right to pray in Jesus' name. But regarding this medical tyranny, I want to introduce a Nuremberg Amendment. And what this will do, Pastor, is it'll actually cut the funding, remove the funding from any state that violates the Nuremberg Code. You remember that? It says you cannot give forced vaccinations without the approval, the informed consent of those that are being receiving this medical experiment. And guess what? If you're making the forced vaccination a condition for employment, for travel, for education, or medical treatment, or the purchase of goods and services, as we see in our nation's capital, you can't go to a restaurant, you can't go to a store. Guess what? Then you're violating the Nuremberg Code, international law, and we're going to cut your funding to your state if you're doing that. If that abusive, tyrannical abuse of liberty is taking place, and that's one of the things I want to do. I want to use the power of the purse, you know, to say, look, if you're harboring illegal aliens in violation of federal law, we're not going to fund sanctuary cities. Any state that has a sanctuary city that's violating the law of harboring illegal aliens that have not been vetted, that have not come in legally as they should, then we're gonna pull your funding as well. And so these are the kinds of things that I believe we need to do. And there's a lot of people they'll run and they'll tell you what they stand for and they'll say all the slogans and all the patriotic rhetoric. But what I've learned one thing in this battle is that there's only one way to tell the difference between a rhino, Republican in name only, mm-hmm. and the real. Oh, someone's going to do what they say, and that is actions. My ministry, as you know, is faith to action. It's all about what are the actions, what are the results, and that's what I'm about. And I've been in this pro-family battle fighting for. In fact, remember talking about energy independence. We can all say we need to open the Keystone Pipeline, but back in 2009, do you remember the thing called cap and trade?
Right.
They wanted to restrict and penalize our energy use. Well, I was so fed up with this kind of thing that I suggested, hey, everybody, let's send a pink slip to Congress and tell them if they pass this energy restriction, this cap and trade, we're going to fire you. And we ended up sending 10 million pink slips, which if you stack them just one on top of each other, like a ream of paper, it would be from the ground all the way to the top of the Washington Monument three times. So we've been fighting for our freedoms for a very long time. I've been in this battle more than 40 years, which is more than my opponents have been alive. And so I've learned some things, especially in this last decades of fight, that we've got to take on the rhinos and we've got to do what it takes to get through an agenda. This is what got me in the race. Quite honestly, I looked out and said, you know what? Everybody's saying the right things. They say that all the time. But what matters is what they'll do. That's the only way you can tell where someone stands. In fact, what Winston Churchill said is, I no longer listen to what people say. I watch what they do. Behavior never lies. And so if you look at my behavior, my actions for the last 40-some years, you'll see that I've been fighting for life, for liberty, for the family, and with some results that they say couldn't be done. I mean, when we started the heartbeat bill battle, they said it was impossible. It is now inevitable. We're going to end abortion, and the end of abortion, as I mentioned, has already begun in the state of Texas, and it's only now going to be duplicated in other states. And it's a fantastic thing. It's an exciting time, despite what's happening in the national level.
Well, and as you pointed out there, it's a long game, isn't it? And so many times people on our side, we want these instant results. And I've kind of likened it to talking to people. Some of the pro-life legislation has been kind of like a football game. You know, you're not going to get a touchdown right off the bat. You know, you got to get down the field and get into the right zone. And you have advanced us down the field quite a bit with the heartbeat bill and some of these other things. And if you can get into Congress, obviously you had referenced a federal heartbeat bill. And are there some other types of bills in particular that you've got in mind? You've touched on some of the things with energy independence and such, but is there something that you could have in mind for right off the start as you get there?
Sure. You know, one of the things that we've got to do is rescue our kids out of the government school monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
In my book, A Heartbeat Away, I wrote about an Education Emancipation Act that basically allows parents to keep their own money as a tax exemption. You keep your own money and decide how and where to best educate your children. But you know what? I made a documentary defending the issue of marriage called Light Winds a while back. And I was watching it probably a few months back, and I'm like, God, I believe God gave me another idea. It's a way to rescue our children that are right now being indoctrinated in the government schools. It's called the Child Protection and Parental Rights Bill that we've drafted. We were going to get it in the special session in Arkansas. Sadly, the clock ran out on us. But it's a bill that we're working through the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. I'm one of the founding board members of that organization. And this bill would basically do what we did in Texas. In Texas, unlike all the other heartbeat bills, the Texas heartbeat bill got to the heart of the issue, and that is the motivation behind abortion, which is money. And instead of making felons of these abortionists, what it does is it says is if you violate the Texas heartbeat bill, that we're going to give a citizen a right to sue and to go to court. And if you're found guilty, if you have in fact violated the Texas heartbeat law, then you have to pay the person who filed the suit $10,000. And that's not just the abortionist. It's anybody who aids or abets in the abortion. That's the clinic escorts, the insurance company, the receptionist. Anybody who is guilty of violating the Texas Heartbeat Bill has to pay. And so why don't we use that same remedy when it comes to school? What we're finding is that many of the school board members, teachers, librarians, they're being held exempt in their state law from violating their obscenity law. All right, let's just say that someone violates the obscenity law in the state of Ohio. Then what we can do then is give citizens that same civil remedy. They can sue and say, hey, you know what? You're violating not only the state obscenity law, but any grooming laws, whether they're in person or online, or maybe even if they teach critical race theory, that one race is superior to another, then we can have that same civil remedy as citizens in Texas do, and we can sue those who are violating these laws and teaching our children, you know, that, again, racism, that one race is superior to another, or grooming, or violating obscenity laws. And that's something that I believe we're going to see throughout the country. And you know, something else when we talk about funding, you know, nobody, you hear trillion-dollar bailout after trillion-dollar bailout, but nobody's talking about a balanced budget. Hey, why shouldn't the federal government have the same restraints that each of us do in our families? It's time that we defund, not only we cut the taxes to the American people, but let's start by defunding the enemies of America and the enemies of Israel. That seems like a pretty logical place to start, and I think we could do it. We mentioned energy independence and talking about how we can open the Keystone Pipeline, regain our energy independence, but voter integrity is critical. I was just talking to David Barton about this. Mm-hmm. David Barton gave me his endorsement today, as well as did Governor Huckabee, Mike Huckabee. And I've been on the battle grounds from voter integrity. I was part of that recount team. Remember back in the Chads on the ballot in 2000 in Broward County, Florida? Well, I served on that team and was actually a national spokesperson for that effort that overturned the results of the elections. But I also I produced some videos about the 2020 voter fraud, the issue in with the Dominion voting machine, those so-called glitches that transferred votes, you know, from Trump to Biden. Well, those are released and on multiple platforms through Destiny Image Publishing, which published my latest book, Charisma, and many other platforms. And General Flynn was one of the people who forwarded them with over a million views across multiple platforms to stand against the voter fraud and to stand for voter integrity, something that we need to be doing. And, you know, and gun rights is another one. People say, oh, you know, we don't really need it. Our founders didn't put this in for hunting. Guess what? That's not what the Second Amendment is all about. It's not hunting. It's about protecting us from a government that would restrain us. In fact, I wrote in my book, A Heartbeat Away, this kind of says it. I got my concealed carry permit back in 2008. My dad was an Army sergeant, so I'm not only pro-veteran, but very much against the efforts to restrict and remove guns from law-abiding citizens. But this says it, I think, best. No politician who supports gun control should get armed protection paid for by the citizens they're trying to disarm. And that's what all these guys in Congress are doing. They've got all their special assignments. They've got all the security and special law enforcement, and they're trying to take guns from law-abiding citizens. Guess what? You shouldn't be getting armed protection paid for by we, the people, the ones you're trying to disarm. And they take advantage of every single crisis and every single shooting that takes place, and they try to take guns from law-abiding citizens. We need to stand up against it, and that's one of the things I want to do, in addition to fighting for life and fighting for liberty and fighting for our children and our parents' rights to educate our children as we see fit.
And you were talking about the cutting of the funding and all, and I thought that a really very effective way to get to people, because, you know, you're familiar with how Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy, where he said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And, you know, you've seen some of the videos, of course, that have been out showing Planned Parenthood and the money that they're getting for parts of the unborn children and such not. And it's not just in the abortion industry, but as you said, talking about some of these other things, the money, when we follow the money, we look at the corruption and how money has corrupted many people in politics and all. And I was just wondering if maybe we could go down a little bit with that ideas of the funding, and it ties in also with you mentioning the balanced budget. Our federal government is certainly bloated, isn't it? And what do you think we could do specifically in order to maybe pare that down a little bit, put the government on a diet, so to speak?
We need to go on a crash diet. And you'll notice that Republicans that are running, they're talking about, you know, that we'll reduce some funding. Well, you know, we'll cut out the carbs maybe. We'll just, you know, try to reduce spending. No, we need to cut it. We need to have a balanced budget, and we need to cut our taxes because they're really hamstringing the businesses who've right now undergone such tyranny already, being forced to close against their will, forced to do these, to participate in these unconstitutional mandates. And so what I believe we need to do is reevaluate where we're putting our money. Certainly we should not be killing children with our American tax dollars. I mean, the Hyde Amendment for many years has said that's not what we want our tax dollars spent for. And yet what happens is every single election, these guys, even when they hold the Republican majority, they say, oh, we're gonna defund Planned Parenthood. Oh, you know, we're gonna repeal Obamacare. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna fight for voter integrity. We're gonna stop the steal. How many times have we heard these promises and they don't keep them? And this is why I wanted to get in this race, because I'm tired of empty promises and worthless words. What we've got to do is get in there, and we need to pull the plug on the funding that is killing us as a nation. I mean, we're already into not just our grandchildren that are being saddled by this debt, but it's our great-grandchildren. It's our great-great-grandchildren that are paying, you know, trillions of dollars that we don't have, and they just keep throwing more money at it. It's almost as if, I don't even want to say almost, it's as if those that are in office right now at the national level are purposely trying to destroy America. And we've got to have people who are willing to fight. And if you want to know who it is that's going to fight those who are Republican in name only, those rhinos who tell you one thing and then they go and do what they please, what you got to do is look to those that have already fought. I mean, when you think about it, in the last decade, when we were passing this heartbeat bill, we ran against them at three or four election cycles. I recruited candidates to run against every one of these obstructionists in the Ohio Senate. And, you know, it wasn't popular. I tried as hard as I could to get others to run. Nobody would do it. So I filed a run against the Senate president and was slandered and slimed by the swamp creatures that are in Columbus in the same way that they are in Washington. I expect the negative pushback. But you want to know something? Somebody needs to be willing to be bold enough, to be courageous enough to say, no, not on my watch. We're not going to let you just regulate around the edges of abortion. We're going to end it. And I don't care if you say it's impossible. We're going to keep knocking like the persistent widow. We're going to keep going at it. We're going to run in this election. All right, we didn't win. All right, we're going to run again. We made them work for it. We made them pay for their obstruction. And ultimately, persistence won. That we saw the bill pass, even in the purple state of Ohio, which allowed me then to go to South Carolina and Texas and say, look, if Ohio can pass it, surely the great state of Texas can. I mean, I went down there and I shamed him into passing the heartbeat law as I testified for it. And now we've got a bill that's upheld and that is enacted.
Well, amen to that. I'm going to have to cut in here because we're quickly running out of time. We got just less than 2 minutes to go and a lot of good information, just not enough time to cover everything. But again, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, our special guest, Janet Porter, or Folger Porter. And what is the website, how people can follow you again?
Sure. You can find out about the race at JanetFolgerPorter.com. Janet Folger, just like the coffee, Porter, like the one that carries your suitcase.com. JanetFolgerPorter.com. And you can find out about the race, why I'm running, and how you can help.
And I appreciate you taking the time to be on the program with us today. And we're going to be following, seeing what's happening. I'm in one of those areas that I don't know what district I'm going to be in yet. We were in the former 11th district, and we've been tossed around. We may be in the 13th district. I'm in Richfield, Ohio. But we don't know. But God has a plan. He has a purpose. And Janet Folger Porter, I want to thank you for being on the radio with me today. And certainly be praying for your ministry and your candidacy there and the things that you're taking a stand for. And I want to encourage our listeners to check you out online. Got 30 seconds. Final comment you want to make?
Well, just pray that God holds the pen in his hand as they redraw those district lines, that it is as if he wants them to be. And I appreciate your prayers, and that's it. We're going to go, and we're going to defend our liberty as hard as I defended life.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Godspeed. God bless. And thank you to everybody listening today. God bless, and have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.